just a year ago in July of 2010, the Prince George's County Council unanimously passed a taxicab reform bill that was sponsored by Councilman Tom Dernoga, but was ultimately unanimously supported by all nine council members. And it changed pretty significantly the way the county distributed licenses for taxi cabs for companies and individual drivers, and changed a very unfair system by setting a finite number of, expanding the finite number, limited number of licenses for individual drivers to roughly about 1,400, expanded by 1,400 or so, the pool to be distributed by a lottery, and at a cost of $25, which was the cost of the application fee. And it also prohibited individual drivers who, once they got a license and maybe decided for whatever reason they didn't want to drive any longer, or just, you know, they didn't want to make their living that way, to sell them the licenses or medallions, as some people call them, back to the cab companies. In the past, that's what, you know, contributed to the monopoly control of the licenses, and it's also obviously an issue of economics, because for taxi companies or licenses that they buy, which are referred to as multiple owner licenses or certificates, they pay just $200 per vehicle per year. And so it's much more affordable for the companies, because then they turn around and sort of lease their licenses or their certificates to drivers who can't get them on their own. And those drivers who drive as affiliated drivers for the companies pay $335 on average a week. So it's a huge amount of their earnings. It's roughly equal to 50% if the average cab driver makes in those $35,000 to $40,000 a year range. $335 a week is about $17,000 a year, which is just staggering to pay that right off the top before they pocket anything at all. So, you know, there was an obvious need to get away from that system. It was a very unfair system, and cab companies were controlling, you know, 70, 75% of the licenses. And so it changed all that with the, you know, with expanding the number of these individual licenses, and then prohibiting, the important part was it prohibited the drivers from selling, the individual drivers from selling, you know, whatever price they could get for these certificates back to the companies. And, you know, with Councilman Campos, who just voted for this law last year, decided, I don't know how, you know, it was never clear to me how he arrived at this, that this, you know, law went too far, and so he introduced CB3, 2011, and he did not have any co-sponsors on the bill, but he persuaded enough of our council colleagues to support it. He got it out of the Transportation, Housing, and Environment Committee with no recommendation, which means the five-member committee voted not to, you know, to pass it through to the full council with neither, you know, a positive nor a negative, vote. It just was without recommendation, and no changes were made to it, even though we attempted to, Councilman Olson and I attempted a series of amendments that would have, you know, restored some of the provisions back to the law that Mr. Dernoga got passed last year, such as the prohibition on selling the certificates back to the companies, and what we refer to as the ratio or the balance, lack of balance in the bill, which is that, you know, where companies could own up to 75% of the certificates, you know, Mr. Campos's bill restored that ability, the monopoly control. Mr. Dernoga's bill the year before had changed that ratio of individual owners owning the licenses versus companies to, I believe it was 55-45. And so this bill, you know, really CB3 just completely turns back the clock to the way things were prior to enactment of last year's reform bill, which is very, very unfortunate.
Councilmember Mary Lehman, I want to play for you a clip before the hearing, or actually just at the day of the hearing. Former Council Chair Tom Dernoga happened to be at the Prince George's County Council, and I had a chance to ask him his thoughts on CB3, which, as you're saying, overturned CB36, which was passed unanimously as he was council chair just a year ago. So I want to play a clip from my interview with former council chair Tom Dernoga and get your response. As the former chair of the Prince George's County Council, who helped shepherd through legislation that provided 390 medallions to drivers, what are your thoughts about CB3 and where things stand now?
I think it's an unfortunate rollback that seems to be focused by special interest. You had two or three people control the cab industry in the county, and our goal was to break the stranglehold by a handful of individuals who basically didn't want to see free enterprise and basically had no problem keeping people in poverty, you know, the drivers. And anybody who spoke out got punished, lost the ability to drive in the county. They basically were frozen because there's nobody else to go to. So we tried to break that stranglehold by putting out the additional medallions and creating some rules that prevented the monopolies from buying up the certificates we created. And the bill that's proposed essentially supports recreating monopolies and putting workers and drivers in a position of long-term poverty and retribution against anyone who speaks out against it.
The CB36, the bill that you helped push through, that was 390 medallions to drivers, that was passed unanimously by this body.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. I'm not sure what else to say. Yeah, it was passed unanimously. And I think a lot of the council members have been dealing with it over a period of 3 to 5 years and come to realize that there was a lot of harassment and intimidation of drivers, unconscionable business practices, and plenty of rumors of corruption that you just couldn't ignore. Particularly, a lot of suggestion that the Department of Environmental Resources look the other way at problems and complaints. And it was rather disturbing the way things were set up.
That was former council chair Tom Dernoga, who a year ago he was council chair as CB36 was pushed through in a unanimous vote, including Councilmember Will Campos, who has now introduced CB3 and passed CB3. Councilmember Mary Lehman, you were not on the council at this time, but your response to what former council chair Thomas Dernoga just laid out.
Well, I think he's absolutely right, and he you know, hit the nail on the head by using the term stranglehold and monopoly, which is what you know, his bill last year broke up. I mean, we broke up the telephone monopoly what 30 or more years ago, and you know, here we are. Did we learn nothing? And you know, he in my judgment did the exact right thing with his legislation last year. And you know, a year later, 9 months really after his law took effect, because it didn't take effect till October. Remember, Jack Johnson had vetoed it before the council also unanimously overrode the veto. The county has not even given did not even give Mr. Dernoga's law a year to work. Really, had not even had a chance to work when the cab companies, just a handful of, you know, very powerful people, you know, unfortunately persuaded enough council members to overturn the law that it's, you know, the good work that Mr. Dernoga did is, you know, as if it never happened. And you're going to see a return to the same thing, to the monopoly control by these two or three companies. And you know, these individual drivers, you know, in the same situation, paying just this enormous percentage, you know, the first 50% or so of their earnings back to these companies. By lifting that, you know, the worst thing it did was lift the prohibition on the sale of the certificates from individual owners to companies or multiple owners. It's very, very unfortunate.
In an op-ed that you wrote in the Sunday Washington Post from July 3rd, entitled "Why Prince George's Need More Taxi Licenses," you write, "In Prince George's County, what has stood between independent drivers and economic security is a system that is reminiscent of the sharecropper system in the Old South, in which poor white and black farmers could never get ahead. While cab companies pay the county $200 per year per licensed vehicle, drivers who affiliate with those companies pay a staggering $335 per week, or about 50% of their earnings, to essentially rent the license from the corporate holder. The 2010 law corrected that imbalance by allowing more permits for independent drivers via a lottery system. Alarmed by the prospect of losing their stranglehold on the market, cab companies filed suit against the county in the fall, but the plaintiffs withdrew their complaint knowing they could not win in court. Instead, they persuaded county council member William Campos to sponsor legislation to repeal the law." These are striking words. Can you talk about, you can compare this to the sharecropper system in the South, and a little bit more, and then we're going to get Henock.
Well, I just, you know, this has been a learning experience for me, and I don't, you know, pretend to know as much as Mr. Dernoga and others, but, you know, I learned as much as I could, as quickly as I could, and I was, you know, I was stunned to learn of the $335 per week off the top, and I said in the THE, I think we had a briefing before we had the bill before us, where we, you know, moved it out, as I said, without recommendation. But we had a briefing where we kind of were given, you know, the background and the industry and the history of the law that had passed last year. And I, you know, my immediate reaction was, in the op-ed piece, I call it, by liken it to the sharecropper system in the South. But I immediately said to myself, you know, this is like a system of indentured servitude, is what I thought of. We're just, there's just no way, it's no one's ever going to get ahead in a system like that. When you're paying out, you know, 50% right off the top of your earnings, you know, how do you ever, you know, even make ends meet, never mind get ahead? It just, it's shocking, really, that any industry in this day and age can operate legally in that fashion. And it reminded me, you know, of Martin Luther King's words back in 1968, right before he was assassinated, when he went down to Memphis to talk to sanitation workers, and he talked about what a travesty it is for a man to, you know, work a full day for essentially half a day's pay. And I think that's exactly, I can't think of a better analogy for these cab drivers, the ones who have to affiliate with the companies because they aren't able to get, you know, an independent, a very affordable, you know, $25 fee per year license, where they get to, you know, after they pay their expenses, you know, the car and the gas and all that, they get to keep everything they earn. And have some control over their lives and their earnings and their, you know, and their ultimate quality of life. That simply is not so for a driver who affiliates with a company. If we're going to allow these companies to go back to controlling 75% of the market, you know, that's the kind of system we're going to have. Very, very inequitable and unjust system.
Henock Ogduris, I want to bring you into the conversation. You're one of the leaders of the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance. You fought very hard to push through CB 36, the legislation that passed a year ago, which provided medallions directly to independent drivers, and fought very hard against the recently passed CB 3, which then reversed that legislation. What are some of your thoughts as you're hearing Councilmember Mary Lehman lay out some of her very serious concerns that she has with this recently passed CB 3?
I mean, it is outrageous that they're passing this bill, you know, that hasn't been fully implemented yet, but also giving back the monopolies again to control the market, where, you know, they already control 70% of the market, and it's just reversing and keeping the status quo where the drivers basically have to be enslaved for them. And it's also like a lack of disregard to the public, where there was no an opportunity where people can choose which companies to ride with. There was only one company that was providing for them. What CB36 did was give an opportunity for the people to have a free market where people have to compete for their business. So this bill was totally against the riding public, but also the drivers. This bill was all about the companies keeping their status quo where they get to keep 50% or more of the driver's income and give very poor service to the public.
Can drivers make a living right now?
It is very hard to make a living as an average cab driver in Prince George's County, especially like if you are under the control of the company, because even though the statistics mentioned about $32,000 to $40,000 average cab driver makes in Prince George's County, I can dispute that it is, you know, way below that amount. And especially when they have to pay $17,000 to those companies. And also, like, there's so many other additional charges that, you know, they can just come up and add in your account where you cannot contest or refuse to pay them, which means you lose your ability to drive a taxi in Prince George's County. So it is very hard for average cab driver to make a living.
Going forward, CB3 has passed, overturning the legislation Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance worked so hard to pass, which provided medallions directly to drivers. What are you going to do going forward? I mean, it took an incredible amount of organizing to get CB36 through. I was there the day it passed, and drivers just poured out of the county council chamber. Tears were coming down some drivers' faces. And now, to a significant extent, that has been reversed. It took a lot of organizing to pass CB36. What's next?
We're moving forward with, you know, our organization. Even though it took us a long time to get organized and get to pass CB36, but still we're organized and we were strategizing, you know, because all the indications were they were going to pass this bill regardless whether it's right or wrong. Because, as you know, some of the council members have refused to consider the public's interest or the driver's, you know, interest or issues that were raised. So we were prepared for it, and we've gotten a certification from the Board of Election. We have registered ourselves to start signing a petition to stop CB3 from taking effect. So we have started that effort starting this past Friday.
And what do you need to for that to be successful?
We need to get 10,000 legitimate signatures from the voters registered in Prince George's County and within 90 days. And we have within 45 days, we got to come up close to 300 petitions. And the law won't take effect for another 45 days. And we got to come up with the rest of petitions within 90 days. And that will stop from the law taking effect. And it's got to be put on a referendum for November 2012.
So you need 10,000 signatures of Prince George's County registered voters, and in 90 days. When did that start?
The bill was signed by Baker on Wednesday. You know, the date starts, you know, the day Baker signs it into the bill. But I'm pretty sure, you know, they heard about this effort and they try to keep it quiet. And we were calling county executives, the Baker's office, to find out if he signed the bill. And they have refused to tell us about it. And we just find out about it on Friday. So there's a coordination effort from the county executive and, you know, also the council members who voted for this bill to stop us, you know, at any level.
I want to play for you a clip of Ron Smith speaking of a coordinated effort with the executive branch. He's the taxi board chair, and I interviewed him June 21st, just before the council had a hearing on CB3. I want to play for you that interview, Henoch, and get your response.
Cool. Your name?
Ron Smith.
Can you talk about your chair of the taxi board, your position on CB3?
CB3, we've worked on it for the last 2 years. I actually was appointed to the commission and the panel who came back and brought back some recommendations to the council. And the recommendation that the council went with that came from the commission was 400. But the board itself doesn't have a position other than to support the county executive and county council.
And right now, the legislation that's in effect, the CB 36, which calls for 400 medallions to be released.
That's correct.
And so the position of the taxi board is to release those medallions?
No, the position of the board is to affirm what the council's position is on them, to let the 254 stand and take a look at the 100, I believe is 146, at a later date.
I thought the legislation that was passed was for 400 medallions to be released.
At that time, but the new bill, which I think is the Campbell's bill, is, I guess they're repealing the 146. So that's our position. We support the council's position or the bill by Campbell's that's being introduced to repeal the 146. And down the road, as the county executive's staff has indicated, that we can come back and take a look at it at a later date.
To be clear, CB 36 is the law, and the Campos bill is a proposal.
That's correct, as I understand it.
And so the position of the taxi commission, part of the executive branch, taxi board, would be to carry out the law, right?
Well, not necessarily to carry out the law. Our position is to take a look at what's best for the taxi industry in the county. And the way it looks is 254 seems to be enough at this point. There could be, as we have new development and new growth, we've got some Disney coming to National Harbor and stuff like that. So that's what they want to do. They want to wait 3 or 4 years, new development, and then come back and take a look at the rest of the numbers.
So just lastly, the CB 36 is the law. So the position of the Taxi Commission is, in fact, against what the D.C. Council, what the Prince George's County Council has passed.
That's correct. That would be correct.
Thank you so much.
Right.
That is Ron Smith, the chair of the taxi board in Prince George's County, saying that they were taking a position against at that point, the established law, which was CB 36. Now, in fact, CB 3 has passed, but this was prior to that. And they're saying their position was not to give out the remaining medallions, but that was at the time the law. I'm not a constitutional scholar, but I found that quite interesting. Your response, Hannah?
It is interesting to hear it from Ron Smith, who's the commissioner of the taxi board, to say this, because if I could go back to last year, where at the task force, he was representing the taxi commission, he stated that, you know, there's a shortage of cabs in this county. And he was even suggesting that, you know, some of the areas like, you know, Northern Laurel or Akasco or some part of, like, you know, Brandywine are being served by other county jurisdiction cabs, because there's a shortage of cabs. And he suggested strongly that there should be 400 medallions to be added. And now, for him to come out and support the county executive's position or the county council's proposal, that shows you, like, you know, how incompetent the taxi board is, because they are just told what they have to do instead of the taxi commission. It's the other way around. The taxi commission has to make the recommendation what changes needs to be done to the county council and to the county executive. But it's the other way around. The county executive and the county councils are telling what the taxi commission should be doing. And, you know, those are the people who've been in the taxi board for the past 8 years. And that's why, like, you know, all this mess was happening, because those are incompetent people. If you look at Mr. Ryan Smith, what did make him qualify to be a taxi cab commissioner? He drove a taxi for 1 year back in the 70s. And he was driving in Washington, D.C. the rest of the time. Now he's making his living driving as a bus driver. And if you look at the other taxi cab board member, he's a manager of a taxi cab company. And if you've seen him testifying at the county council, he said there should be no medallions. He already got a position because his interest is affected by CB36. He wants to keep the old system.
Is that David Arnett?
That's David Arnett.
I want to play a clip. I actually interviewed David Arnett the day of the hearing, June 21st. Let's go to that.
Your name?
David Arnett. Where are you from?
I'm Pete Tucker with the Fight Back. Your position?
I'm a member of the taxi cab, Prince George's County Taxi Board.
And what is your position on the medallion bill?
My position is that at the present time, there are too many medallions in the county. And to add more means it's adverse to the present cab drivers in the county. More medallions mean less income. And more medallions is not providing better service to the constituents within the PG County.
Are you speaking on behalf of the taxi board?
I'm speaking not on behalf of the taxi board. My position with you right now is as an individual, but not on behalf of the taxi board.
But the council passed legislation that requires a certain amount of medallions to be released, and not all those medallions have been released.
But they found that the county is flooded with medallions, and the more medallions are causing problems in as far as service to the constituents of the county and as far as increasing the income of the present driver. The purpose of the medallion was to allow the drivers to act independent and increase their income, but it's not accomplishing that, and it's not allowing the constituents of PG County to get better service. As I was telling the gentleman before, you've got drivers, people who come off the metro on the New Carlton Metro. If they're going to Glen Arden or a nearby neighborhood, they're being refused service. The drivers won't pick them up and won't take them. So, thusly, what good is additional medallions?
Is it unusual? The council passes the laws, and I'm guessing the taxi cab commission's job is to...
But the law, but the bill that the county council passed had provisions in it in as far as issuing the medallions. This is why they did not get the lump sum that they requested initially.
But the bill in question is not about those provisions. It's about the initial medallions, which was not a provisional. My understanding was that was not a provisional. Those first medallions, those have not been given out, and this would stop those. So, if I'm not mistaken, you're taking a position against what the elected body has taken.
I'm taking a position against more medallions,
which the legislation has already passed.
Irregardless, the county does not need more medallions. The taxi cab industry does not need more medallions.
Is the taxi cab commission part of the executive branch?
We the taxi cab board, we're under the executive, yes.
And the executive branch is to carry out the laws that exist.
But our job is to monitor the county code. Our job is also to act on behalf of the drivers when they have grievances.
And you feel it's appropriate, even though the council has passed legislation calling for the 400-some medallions to be issued?
I think that's too many.
But that's not what the elected body has stated.
You're asking me my personal opinion. My personal opinion, after 35 years in this industry, in all phases of the industry, that at the present time, with the 1,100 and some cabs on the street, any additional cabs on the street is adverse to the taxi cab industry and adverse to the citizens of Prince George's County because they're not getting the service that they should.
But that's not the position of the taxi commission.
That is my personal opinion.
So the taxi commission will be following the law and issue the remainder?
The taxi commission will issue their own statement as a body.
Any final thoughts you care to add?
No.
Thank you.
So that was David Arnett His car, name isn't on the card, but I think the card he gave me is Community Cab Company. And so he's a member of the taxi board in Prince George's County, but also is a has a private interest in the matter. And so it's not exactly clear when he takes a position, is he talking that he's benefiting the county, or maybe he's benefiting his own personal interest? Your response, Hannah?
It has always been clear, like, you know, from our experience as a cab drivers, that first of all, the taxi cab board has been incompetent. That goes for the Department of Environmental Resources and the Business License Office, which was all along was controlled by the very same individuals, because till the drivers start asking questions and what they have been doing. And if you look at the taxi commission, in the past 10 years, they haven't made any single recommendation to the county council or to the county executive. There was no activity in terms, you know, as of last year till the county council introduced the task force. There was no activity on behalf of the taxi board. I mean, those are people who were very happy with the existence of the system pre-CB36, because those are the company owners and they are making all the money, and they didn't have no problem, like, you know, or they did not want to make any recommendation because that would be affecting their own personal interest. And as far as Mr. David Arnett is concerned, like, you know, even he testified against CB36 not to be passed, and now they are contradicting themselves. Also, they are challenging the law because it's affecting their own personal interest. So the Taxi Cab Commission should be following what the court says and enforcing the laws, or interpret it as it was written. But now the taxi board is above the law. And this shows you, like, all along how this industry been affected because it was run by incompetent peoples. And one issue is nobody was asking those questions till the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance start asking those questions and pushing the Taxi Cab Commission. Even with that, we were not successful because they are incompetent. If you look at it, like, out of the five board, there's only three people, which is Ron Smith, which is his opinion, David Arnett, and there's also another individual. But there's two vacancies already going back last year's, and nobody has been appointed into that. And as far as our position is concerned, the current taxi cab board doesn't have the legitimacy to be running the taxi affairs, because the current law states there should be two people, and one should be full-time active drivers in the board.
There should be two industry representatives?
Two industry representatives, and one has to be a full-time active taxi cab driver who doesn't own or control more than one single medallion.
Interesting. Very similar to what's going on in the District of Columbia. Henak Ogdurs, before I get your final thoughts, I wanted to apologize to District 1 Council Member Mary Lehman, who was kind enough to join us, and we've had terrible phone difficulties and haven't been able to get her back on the line, and I wanted to apologize to her. There are a number of issues I wanted to get her thoughts, including the comments of Ron Smith and David Arnett, but also this is a subject that, as she writes in the July 3rd Sunday Washington Post, this is a subject I care deeply about. Councilmember Lehman writes, "My late father, Richard Hensel, provided for our family of eight by supplementing his D.C. firefighter salary as a taxi driver for Diamond Cab in the district. After a heart condition forced him into early retirement from the fire department, he drove full-time for more than 20 years. It was good, honest work, but the hours were long and we saw little of him because when he was not driving, he was catching up on sleep." And that may be an indication as to why she has spoken out so forcefully. And again, I was hoping to give her a chance to explain, but there were technical problems on our end. Henok Wilders, again, any final thoughts that you have, and what are you hoping happens in the days and weeks to come, and how can folks help out?
First of all, like, I think till the people of Prince George's County ask, you know, start asking questions and holding their politicians accountable, those kind of things will continue. And it's been my personal experience. And what is happening is the council members that we meet, beside those who spoke out against the bill, like Councilman Mary Lehman and Councilman Eric Olson, have agreed with us in private. They said this bill should never have been brought in the first place. But they still voted against it because the county is controlled by very few powerful lobbyists and the taxi company. But I hope we're going to be successful. And I'm very optimistic that we're going to be successful because we are making people aware about these issues, and we have been getting a tremendous positive responses and assistance from different community organizations like PRISM, Progressive Maryland, Casa de Maryland, and so many activists that I cannot name at this point. And we're going to be successful in this petition drive, and also highlighting the wrongs in the taxi industry and exposing the monopolies and the illegal activities. And one other thing I want to say is this issue is issue that's popping everywhere in the Washington regional area. And if the drivers can come together and highlight the issues, also, like, you know, fight this injustice that's going on, I think we have a very positive outlook in terms of that we can defend this attack that's being done all over the region on working class poor people who are trying to defend, also, like, you know, trying to provide to their families law-abiding citizens. And I think we have a very large number of drivers. As long as we can unite, I think we'll expose this industry, and the people also will be aware of these issues.
Do you think you'll be able to get 10,000 signatures? That's an awful lot. You probably have to get a few more than that. I imagine they'll be challenged.
We are shooting actually for close to 20,000, and our drivers are very motivated, and some of the churches and organizations that we meet are very motivated, and they've been asking us when they get started, and so far the effort has been going well, and there's a lot of activities, a lot of festivals, and we're going to be attending each and every one of it, and hopefully we're going to be successful in our effort.
And we look forward to, on the Voice of DC Cab Drivers, regular weekly updates from you and others in the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance. You can give us an update on how many signatures you've got, how many to go, and how folks can help out. So we look forward to continuing to follow your efforts.
Yes, sir. And hopefully I will keep an update, and we'll let, you know, the drivers and the unions know what's going on and whatever assistance that we need, and also whatever assistance that we can give.
Thanks so much for your time.
All right. Thank you, Pete, for having me.